The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911. Talk 920 and FM 96.5 KVEC presents the Pismo Beach Today Show. If it's happening in Pismo Beach, it's on Pismo Beach Today. Now, here's your host, Anita Schauer.
Oh my gosh, good morning, Sunday. Welcome to the Pismo Beach Today Show. My name is Anita Schauer, and I am your desired radio personality. Today's guest is the very one and only Charlie Puffer of Puffers of Pismo Beach. Please stay with us. Let's talk briefly about the sponsors of the show. We have Robert, who is Dr. Electric, because your electrical health is his main concern. Miss Etiquette, teaching manners to children and very interested adults. Diamond Jewelry and Loan, with Bobby's spectacular location in Santa Maria, California, and that would be Miller at East Main. What's in the store? Oh my gosh. Jewelry, musical instruments, paintings, sculptures, games, power equipment, Apple AirPods, air compressors. You want to go in there. Remember that they are closed Sunday and Monday. And the phone is 805-314-2028, Diamond Jewelry and Loan. And Jim Dritzis of Dritzis & Company, for all your accounting needs and tax and accounting questions. I'm going to get Jim on right away so he can tell us what's new with our best friend, the IRS. Bruce Van Vork of Finn's Seafood Restaurant on the beach at the end of Grand Avenue, Grover Beach, California. And thank you to Bruce for always hosting and supporting the Five Cities Homeless Coalition fundraisers. Dr. Dan Kopp of the Kopp Dental Group, with Dr. Dan Kopp, Dr. Mike Roberts, and Dr. Alina True. And we'll give Dr. Dan Kopp my highest rating for 2024, and that would be 500 trillion, 555 billion, 555 million, and nonstop super gajillion. And I want to thank you very much for my beautiful smile. Pismo Dice with Pat McCann. Wonderfully delicious wines available at California Fresh. Now, they're going through a rebranding, and there are limited items left for sale. You want to email Pat and see what it is that you desire and whether or not he has those items left in stock. Email address is pismopat, P-A-T. 805 at AOL.com. That's PismoPat 805 at AOL.com, and find out what Pat has available for you. And then he's coming on the show so we can talk about his rebranding. Sierra Body Shop, South Grover, South 4th Street, right off of Grand Avenue. These professionals are all you need for the care of your vehicles, cars, trucks, motorhomes. They'll give you a courtesy estimate for the repair, and then they will take you home after you leave your vehicle there, and they'll pick you up to go back and get it. This is a hello to Johnny and Mike and Butch, and their phone number is 805-481-3855. 481-3855. Royal Grandy Home and Garden, where you will find Miss Terry keeping everything in order. That's 20,000 square feet of everything you didn't know that you needed. And that goes from outside lawn furniture, patio furniture, most magnificent wind chimes, fountains, and go inside and you'll find a paint section, small power equipment. They have a birding area, which is just darling, greeting cards, school supplies, everything you can imagine. 1578 West Branch Street, Arroyo Grande, right behind Carl's Jr. 805-779-3080 is the number. 805-779-3080. And we welcome Doug McMillan and his three fine restaurants as sponsors, Rose's Restaurante and Ada's Fish House, both located on the south end of Price Street, and Vista at the north end of Price Street on the water side. So to find out about hours, specials, parking, inside dining, outside dining, whether or not they're open on holidays, the number is 805-773-0551. 773-0551. And Roxy Buchanan of the Natural Toolbox at the Pismo Outlets. 172 local artisans have all of their wares in there for you to purchase. Beautiful things. Art galore. Open every day at 10 a.m. And remember that Roxy knows everything there is to know about doTERRA essential oils, which are also available for purchase in her store, the Natural Toolbox. And we welcome Counts' Chevron, 13th Street, West Grand Avenue, Grover Beach. Remember, there's a little store inside of the store, and the little store is full of everything for the beach. And they have food and treats and snacks and coffee and hot dogs and ice cream machines. That's where I stop first. And remember, there's a car wash in the back. So when you order your gasoline, make sure you tack on a car wash. Elizabeth Head Insurance Services, Farmers Insurance Office on West Grand Avenue at 9th Street, Grover Beach. Find out the joy of owning an umbrella policy. Please call Elizabeth Head. 805-481-5324. 481-5324. And Brenda Auer, wonderful human being, Cracker Jack Realtor in our area. Brenda will help you find that perfect piece of property on the Central Coast or up and down the coast. Number 805-801-6694. 801-6694. And remember that Brenda is a lover of the sea, and her office is located in the heart of the village of Arroyo Grande and Splash Cafe. Remember to go online while you're waiting in line to read all about Splash products, which can be delivered to your home, including their world-famous clam chowder, their award-winning cakes. You should see those when they come. Baked goods and special bakery boxes, and of course their famous spices. Please do this. And the grocery outlet in Arroyo Grande, California, with Haley and Michael Testa. Remember to visit and shop grocery outlet first. They are first with the best prices, the best selections, surprise items, beautiful plants, and a wonderful wine selection. And remember, the Testas live right here in our fabulous community supporters. Kevin 76 Station, Five Cities Drive, Pismo Beach, full service station, nicest people on earth working there. They're going to revamp that. Wait till you see that. Please stop by and say hello and make an appointment to have your vehicle serviced, or better yet, have them look at your tires to see if you need new tires, and they can help you with that. And Kristen Becker, a certified divorce coach. When you want to go through this process and you don't know what to do, you need to find Kristen Becker. She'll provide you with the guidance and compassion through this difficult time in your life. And she will help you clear the way for healing. And very importantly, financial independence for you and your children. Website, kristen@divorcecoach.com. So let's see, activity guide is out. Any questions about activities, the parks, any recreation, any membership, what's free, when does it start? You want to talk to Colleen, 805-773-7063, 805-773-7063. And if you didn't get an activity guide, find out from Colleen where you may obtain one. Be sure you visit all our parks in Pismo Beach. They're just lovely. City Council meetings, first and third Tuesdays of each month. Next meeting, 5:30. Get there at 5, April the 2nd. Council Chambers, Pismo Beach City Hall. It's fun. Go see Jorge Garcia, the city manager, and Mayor Waggy, and the city council. Pismo Preserve is open. This is their 10th anniversary. Any questions at all? If you didn't find what you needed online, call the Land Conservancy, 544-9096. 805-544-9096. And remember, when you go online, fill out the form, download it, put it in your dash, and off you go to the preserve. That information has to be visible on your dash when people walk around to make sure you need to be parking there. I know the parking is limited. You'll have to walk a little ways. It's okay. Airstreams are open on the Pismo Beach Pier. Remember, the Visitor Center is one of those, and that is brought to you by the City of Pismo Beach. Two beach wheelchairs available to youth at the Sandcastle Inn on the beach, also provided to you by the City of Pismo Beach. Thank you very much. Free of charge, 3-hour increments. Call for information, 805-773-2422. 773-2422. And thank you to all the visitors who descend upon the Pier Plaza, the pier, and the beach every Sunday. Remember, there's no smoking downtown Pismo Beach or vaping. There's no smoking or vaping at the Pismo outlets. So as Ben Fine, Public Works Director, says, if you must smoke, take your butts with you. Thank you. Pismo Beach Chamber getting ready for Taste of Pismo, April 20th. Tickets are $150 each. Limited number of tickets. There will be food, libations, music, gift baskets for bidding. Go to the website. Buy a ticket. Get ready for that. Slow Symphony, Last Symphony, May 4th. That's the last symphony for this season. Tickets available online through the pack. Grover City Grange, you know we always have to tell you what our communities around us are doing. Grover City Grange, next pancake breakfast, 8 a.m., Grange Hall, South 13th Street, and that'll be April 7th. What time? 8 o'clock in the morning. That's not bad, is it? I don't think so. April 7th, be there. Can I do that right? One moment, please. I don't like to give misinformation. Yes, April 7th, 8 o'clock in the morning till 11. We serve 200 breakfasts during that time period. You certainly want to be there. And the Grange Community Yard Sale, April 20th, 8 o'clock in the morning. Be there. There's also going to be a barbecue. You can buy a hot dog. Spaces are $25 each to bring your wares to the Community Yard Sale. Clark Center tickets are still available. Go online. See what's up and coming. Buy a few tickets. Girl Scout Tick Cookie Drive over. Thank you very much for participating. Farmers Market Pismo Beach begins in April. I'll let you know when I know what in the world is going on with the Farmers Market. And that's it. Now we're going to talk to Charlie Puffer. Good afternoon.
And good morning / afternoon to you, Miss Anita.
And how are you today?
I'm doing okay. I'm very grateful and for your friendship and support over the last 8 years. I came to Pismo Beach as a stranger, and I got lucky. And, you know, you boosted me, and I'm very appreciative of that. And it's also lovely that you support so many other businesses, because we're a community, and what we have to do always is give support to our community.
Well, and, that's true.
Yep.
So we were in there last week, and you have a community that you engage with. There was a birthday party, and there felt like there were 100 people in that little space, and it was a wonderful time. Thank you for what you do.
Well, you're welcome. I'm very happy to have the participation and cooperation of so many people, because I recognized when I came in here that there was only one way that I was going to survive and prosper, and that was to become part of the community. So I get a fair amount of visitors that come here and spend their money and support, but mostly it really is about people that live locally, and they see me regularly, and I'm so grateful for it.
So it is 8 years, correct?
It's going to be 8 years and 3 weeks, but I guess I can say 8 years.
All right. And so did you come here from Chicago directly to Pismo Beach?
I did not. I actually came from Los Angeles, where I lived for 15 years, 16 years, actually. And I enjoyed it. And I had a lovely marriage and a couple of nice homes, and everything was great. But at a certain point, we decided that we didn't need to be married anymore. And I had to find a place to go. And because I was in the wine business in Los Angeles, I knew a lot of people from Edna Valley and Pismo and Paso Robles and et cetera. And so I started making phone calls, and I thought this might be a good place for me to land. But my life in Chicago was dramatically different from my life in Los Angeles, but I'm very happy for all of it because it's all contributed to whom I am.
You didn't drive around in those wonderful mafia cars, did you?
Well, as a matter of fact, I tried not to. Well, I should tell you a little story about that.
Okay.
A long time ago, like about 45 years ago, and I was just a kid living on 31st Street on the south side of Chicago, there was a nice little ice cream store that I would go into every once in a while, and it was owned by a local mafia guy. And his niece was the manager of that store, and she and I had a little acquaintance. We had a little flirtation, and we started dating a little bit. And her name was Franny, and she was wonderful. And, you know, we just did what you did when you're teenagers. You held hands. Maybe you made out a little bit. You talked about things that weren't particularly important, but you liked each other, and that was important. However, her father was kind of a local heavy-duty mafia guy. And they lived in this house that was not too far from where I lived that had a 6-foot wall around it. I'm like, Fran, why do you have this giant wall around your house? She's like, so we don't get shot up by our enemies. I'm like, I could not understand that, you know, but it worked. So anyway, I'm dating Franny, and we're having a nice time, and I'm going getting ice cream. We're not getting serious. We're young and stupid, but we like each other. And one night, like one of the things that you do when you live in a big city is you hang out with your buddies on the corner. I'm hanging out with my friends on the corner one night across the street from where I live, and we're pretty harmless. You know, we might smoke some cigarettes because we're stupid, but we would sing songs, and we try to flirt with girls, and, you know, we're just hanging out because that's what you do. And one night, this long black limo shows up at the corner, right? And the guy at the driver's wheel I know is Fran's brother, and his name actually is Charlie, too. He goes, back in the day, they called me Chucky. I was Chucky Puffer. He goes, Chucky, jump in. I got to talk to you. So I get in the back seat of the limo, and then the guy who's in the front seat next to the driver jumps in, and I'm seated between two guys. I'm like going, well, this is interesting. So they take me on a little ride, and one of the areas of my neighborhood was what we called the quarry. And it was a deep couple hundred feet pit that was part of an underground water thing in Chicago. I never quite understand it, but it had a giant fence around it, except it had one area where you could see through the fence. It was a true link fence, and then you could look into the pit. And so they drive me there, and they take me in front of where you can see into the pit. And the guy says to me, he says, Chucky, you can't see my sister no more. This is the driver of the car. His name is Charlie. I'm like, what do you mean? We're just friends, you know? He goes, you can't see my sister no more because you're not one of us. I'm like, what do you mean? We all live in the same neighborhood. He goes, you're not one of us. You see my sister? You're going to end up there in that pit. You're going to end up in the bottom of the quarry. You understand? Don't see my sister no more. I'm like going, no problem, Char. I got it. I got two guys, one on either side of me. I'm like going, I could probably handle this situation if I wanted to, but I don't want to get killed and dumped into the quarry. So I said, no problem, Char. Thanks. I understand perfectly well. It's all good. So they dropped me off on the corner, and all my friends were like, what just happened? I'm like, I'm not really sure. I don't want to talk about it. So I didn't go to see my girlfriend anymore.
You didn't? You actually stopped seeing her?
I stopped seeing her. And one day, she comes to the apartment where I live with my family. She knocks on the door. I walk down the stairs. I go to say hello. She's like, why haven't you been around? I'm like, you know what, Fran? I'm sorry. I'm just really busy. I can't see anymore. And she says, it was my brother, wasn't it? I'm like, I can't talk about this, Fran, really. It's just not good. I'm sorry. I can't see anymore. And she says to me, it was Charlie, and I'm going to kick his butt. And I'm like, going, Fran, okay, thanks. I like you a lot. I gave her a little kiss. I said, see you down the road somewhere. And that was that.
No more?
No more. Actually, there's an interesting follow-up to that story, if I might tell it.
What, is there another sister?
No. Maybe there is. But when I moved up here about 10 years ago, it was kind of common knowledge that I had gotten divorced from my lovely wife. We're still great friends, but we just didn't need to be married together anymore. It wasn't the right thing for either of us, but we're great friends now. And I get this phone call at my business, Puffers of Pismo, and she's like, Chucky, this is Franny from Bridgeport. I'm like, oh, hi, Fran, how are you? She's like, I'm fine. I heard you got divorced. I heard you got a really nice little restaurant, bar, live music venue in California on the coast. I'm like, that's true. She's like, can I come visit? I'm like, that might not be a good idea, but thank you.
Can you imagine she would have brought the whole entourage here?
I hope not, but that's how I am. I've been out here. I've been in California for now 25 years. And I've been in Pismo for 8 and in Slo County for 10. And I'm very happy with the great fortune that I've had here. It's just been amazing. And I've had incredible support from the community. And I've made a brand new community from, the days of Chicago, the days of Los Angeles, et cetera, et cetera. But now this is my home. And I don't – if people call me up and I'm like, if you want to come visit, come visit. You can stay at my house. Everything's going to be okay. You'll have a lot of fun, but I don't necessarily want to be connected with that past world so much. I have lots of memories. I've written about it extensively, and it wasn't unpleasant, but it's just not my life anymore.
No. So are your familiarity with wine, does it go all the way back to your Chicago time?
It does, because in the late 1980s, I work in a really high-end restaurant, maybe the best restaurant in the city of Chicago. Very expensive, very exclusive. And I started to learn a little bit about wines and spirits. And the owner came to me. And I was a pretty competent bartender. And he said, you need to taste everything because you need to be able to describe it to people when they ask you. You need to be educated about what it is that you're serving. I said, give everything a little taste. We'll see. And so because I'm fairly articulate, I'm a pretty good writer. I can describe things in detail. However, simply so as not to confuse people, because not everybody has a complex palate. And I have to say, well, this wine is like this kind of, and this is how I feel about it. So I try to keep it simple. But when I moved to Los Angeles, I became an English teacher in the lovely community of Watts in South Los Angeles. And I really enjoyed being a teacher, but it was painful because it was clearly obvious to me that many of my students were not going to have success in this world. They were poor kids. They were primarily Latino and African American. And they had this 40-something-year-old white guy who looked like a cop, because I did. But I tried to just engage them because I couldn't really teach them. But after a few years of doing that, I had been working part-time in a wine store in Los Angeles, because if you're a teacher, you probably need a second job to survive because they don't pay teachers well. And I lived in LA, and you know, my wife made good money and I was making not good money, and I felt like maybe I needed to make more money. But the guy I worked for in the wine store came to me and offered me a situation that was more than double what I was making as a teacher. So I went to work for him, and I spent a lot of time and energy learning about wine because that was my job.
Oh, so that was the situation.
That was the situation.
Okay.
And so I created an identity for myself in Los Angeles as a wine guy, and I actually, I got good at it. And people from various walks of life, I mean, Hollywood Hills, wealthy people, Foothills, wealthy people, working people from LA and all around, and because I could talk to them competently about wine, I became very successful in selling a whole bunch of wine. And that sort of was my segue into where I am today.
That was a very smart segue. I mean, you came with a background.
Exactly. And again, it was about relationships that I had formed while I was in the retail business in Los Angeles. I formed good relationships with a lot of people in SLO County. And so when I knew that I was going to leave Los Angeles and I thought I might move up here, I started making phone calls going like, hey, I'm looking for something to do. I'm looking for a job. And I was very easily employable. But after a short time here, I realized that I really didn't want a job. I wanted my own business. And this little place opened up and became available. And I was fortunate enough to be able to purchase it and establish Puffers of Pismo. And it all kind of went from there.
Yes, and you were able to work very nicely with the city of Pismo Beach regarding the parking.
Well, I thank you for your assistance with that, because the city of Pismo Beach was not particularly nice to me. It wasn't terrible, but it was just a little bit inconvenient. And I think that you might have intervened on my behalf on a couple of issues. So thank you very much.
Well, you know, we want you to stay around, and we're going to take a short break, and we're going to talk about your newest endeavor with poetry. Would that be good with you?
That'd be fine.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Charlie Puffer speaking with you, and this is the Pismo Beach Today Show. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Anita.
This is the Pismo Beach Today Show on News Talk 920 and FM 96.5 KVEC. Stay tuned for more with your host, Anita Schauer, next. Back to the Pismo Beach Today Show on News Talk 920 and FM 96.5 KVEC. Here's your host, Anita Schauer.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for staying with us. This is the Pismo Beach Today Show, and our guest today is Charlie Puffer of Puffers of Pismo Beach. And we want to thank Dr. Electric, Miss Etiquette, Diamond Jewelry and Loan, Jim Dritzis, Bruce Van Vork, the Cop Dental Group, Pismo Dice, Sierra Body Shop, a Royal Grandy Home and Garden, Doug McMillan, The Natural Toolbox with Roxy Buchanan, Couts' Chevron, Elizabeth Head Insurance Services, Brenda Auer Real Estate, Splash Cafe, the Grocery Outlet in Arroyo Grande, Kevin 76 Station, and Kristen Becker. Thank you very much for making all of this possible, because we love doing this and we love Charlie. Charlie, I'm going to spend my next birthday in your fine store, shop, destination.
Thank you. Thank you very much. By the way, your hair looks fantastic today.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's a work in progress.
Isn't it, though?
Right? So you know, my question is, how did Retro Bill fit into Chicago and you, which it has to be a very interesting story. Make it brief.
I don't have sufficient memory or history of Retro Bill and I in Chicago, but he's a very welcome person here in Pismo Beach, and I'm happy that he's here because unless you live in a place like Chicago, you might not really get it because it's very distinctive, and there's a specific variety of personalities and occurrences that happen there, and they're very typically Chicago. Like if you look at a guy like, may he rest in peace, Anthony Bourdain, he loves Chicago. It's a different place. And I'm very happy for the contributions that my upbringing in Chicago brought me. And I'm very happy to kind of leave him behind because I love where I am.
Oh, yes. They're two different places, different from one another. But Chicago, when you say Chicago, it's kind of spicy.
It is indeed. And it's a really fine city, and there's a lot of really good people there. And it's different. I've been in a lot of big cities. I lived in New York City. I lived in Chicago. I lived in Los Angeles. And I lived in a lot of smaller rural places. But Chicago is, in my opinion, the most distinctive place I've ever lived.
Yes.
And, you know, my experience there was pretty exceptional.
So you're into poetry?
I am totally into poetry.
But you've always been into poetry, haven't you?
You know, I started writing. I'm 62 years old right now, and I started writing when I was a little kid in school. And I read a lot of really nice writers. Well, what I had to do, because I lived in a really crowded house in a really noisy, squalid neighborhood on the South Side, there was no privacy. So what I would do was I would go hide. Please forgive this, but I would go hide in the closet of the bedroom that my two brothers and I shared because we were working poor. Basically, my dad was a truck driver. We're a one-income family with five kids in a second-floor walk-up apartment on the South Side. There's no privacy. So I would go sit in this closet in my room because it was the only door that I could close and not have noise, and I would read everything that I could possibly find. I read poetry. I read, you know, Greek and Norse mythology. I read tons and tons of fiction and short stories. And that was my escape from the noise of the outside world.
Did you have a flashlight or was there a light in the closet?
There was a naked light bulb hanging from the ceiling, and that was it. It was
like when you said naked, I thought maybe you were going to go when the next word was going to be woman.
Well, that was later, but not okay. At that point. I was very young.
Okay.
I maintained my innocence for quite a while. And when I lost my innocence, well, everything changed.
Charlie, it's still changing.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's not changing, it's evolving.
Evolving. So in the closet, did you also have your transistor radio in there?
I always had a transistor radio. Yep. And the great thing about that time in the late 1960s and into the 70s was AM radio played great music. And I
rock and roll.
A lot of rock and roll, yes, but I listened to other things too. And that's really what formed my ideas about music, and which is why now I have a live music venue. And I had one in Chicago too in the 90s, a variety of music because I love rock and roll, but I like a lot of different styles of music. And so I was able to get exposed to some. And
so tell us the name of the fellow who was in there last week playing.
Oh, boy.
On the birthday night.
Yes. That was Daniel Formica.
That's it.
And he's a rock star. I mean, he travels with rock and roll stars and plays large arenas, and he lives in SLO, and he's a friend of mine, and he likes playing my little place, but he's so remarkably talented and passionate about what he does. And he's also a vocal coach, and you know, he's a great guitar player, and he sings, and he just does so many things so well. But he's one of my favorites.
He has a really a melodious voice.
He has a melodious voice, and he has incredible range. He can do so many different octaves. I mean, he's he's just remarkable. And there aren't really that many people that I know that are as good as him. There's a lot of people that have incredible talent, but their range is limited. And his range is not very limited. He can go places that other people can't go.
And he's very hospitable.
He's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
He's a really nice man.
So well, are you doing a poetry night there featuring you?
Yes, pretty soon. I think it's April 10th.
Okay.
And I don't like drawing that much attention to myself. And so what I do is I like to mix up the poetry nights with local musicians that do original music. So I'll invite four or five different performers to play some music. And then I'll invite four or five different poets to read their stuff. And I'll usually host the event and I'll read a few things and then I'll hand it over to the next person. Now the next one on April 10th is a beautiful young woman named Natalie Haskins. And she's a singer-songwriter who also has several books of poetry, and she's very, very talented, and she's a total sweetheart, and she's a friend. So I'm going to sort of give her the featured artist slot. I'll read a little bit because basically people do want to hear me read. You know, my stuff's pretty good. If I have to say that, I will. I mean, I don't want to sit in here just poetry for 2 or 3 hours. I want to hear music. I want to hear some poetry. I want people to interact. I want there to be breaks. I want everyone to have a good time and feel fulfilled. And the other thing of that is that I want to inspire people to write and express themselves, because that's what happened to me. I started writing a long time ago, but about 6 years or so ago, I started just dropping things on social media like Facebook. And people received my stuff and said they were very encouraging and it made me feel good. So, you know, I wrote a book.
Are you going to do classes?
I'm going to do some classes at Congregation House, which is on Los Osos Valley Road, a little bit east of Laguna Lake.
Okay.
And there's a lovely woman who published my first book. Her name is Jeannie Gregg Bruning. And she invited me to come and teach a class. And she put it out there on social media, and I shared it. And I think we're going to have a really nice turnout. So I've been studying up on how to enhance my teaching strategy. So I have to draw upon what I learned at the university, and I'm trying to get some new ideas in. But mostly what I'm planning to do is inspire people to express themselves. Because I think that expressing yourself and learning how to write and focus your ideas, and it helped me a lot. Mostly though, if I can get a little gushy right now, I got to tell you this. It's all about love.
It is?
It is.
Okay.
If you don't love yourself, and if you don't love what you're doing, then you will have difficulty being a writer. You have to bring love and passion and sincerity and also methodology. So the first thing I want to teach is about, you know, passion, inspiration, and love. And then I'll get to the methodology part, because people tell me this about my writing. They say, they tell me that I articulate things that they feel, but they can't articulate. So that's the important part of it for me.
You've been doing it your whole life.
Pretty much.
I mean, when you speak rhythmically.
I think that rhythm is very important, and I'm very much in love with rhyme. Like, I read these fancy, classic English poets and all this stuff. I'm like, it's boring to me. I'm like, why do you have to use a four-syllable word to express something that you can express more simply? So like that complicated academic stuff, all that flowery stuff.
Yes.
It's beautiful, but it doesn't appeal to me.
Does Chaucer appeal to you?
Chaucer was brilliant.
Yeah, there you go.
Chaucer was brilliant. I mean, he was special. But there's so many people out there, and so many of them are just kind of echoing the same thing. And so, I'm an American. I'm a city boy. I like to keep it simple and straightforward, but I like to think that I can still express things that are powerful and relatable without being too flowery.
And what is the name of Charlie Puffer's book of poetry?
Well, the first one is called, it's called Naked.
There we go again.
Here we go again. Okay. It's called Naked because when you write and you expose your prose to the public,
that's right.
You're exposing yourself. You're making yourself naked to the public. And so my next volume, which is just about ready, is and the first volume, the cover of my book has me almost naked, but I didn't show any private parts. So the next one, though, I'm going to call Naked Volume 2. And I want a little naked baby boy's body with my head on top, just like a little tiny one-year-old or something, because it feels to me like it's a childish pursuit. It's just a little bit developed, you know. That's how it's going to be.
It's exciting, to do a book.
It is.
It's exciting to do a book really about self.
It's a little complicated, because when we think about it, there's a negative connotation attached to the word selfish, right? And because it means like you want more than you give, but that's not really the case necessarily. If you don't have a good sense of self, how can you accept other people, right? You have to be confident in yourself, and you have to understand who you are, what you're doing, where you're going, and what you have to offer to other people.
Well, Charlie, that's where love comes in, correct?
That's it. It really is all about love.
Well, that's a very powerful word for you, I can tell.
Well, I have this little theory that I'm working on right now, if you'll allow me to digress for a moment, that love is really, really important, but like is, I think, equally important. Like, you can say that you love somebody, but there's responsibility and obligation attached to that, right? Like, you have to take care of each other, even sometimes if you don't want to do it. But like is elective. It's just like, I'm spending time with this person because I like them, but I don't necessarily feel responsible for them. So love is a little bit of a different thing, but I don't really know what we have if we don't have love. And you can always go back to like, and I think,
But some relationships, they are in love, but they don't like each other. You've heard that.
Exactly what I'm talking about. You just hit the nail on the head, Anita.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. Right. And, that's why sometimes relationships break down, because they're too fraught with responsibility and obligation and expectations. And if they don't have like, then what really is that worth?
It makes you wonder that when a relationship started, was there ever like involved, or was it just, bam, we're in love?
I think that like is the initial, it's the ignition of it. Okay. And then it goes from there. But if you don't like somebody, how do you make the transition to love?
Well, if it's the ignition, that must be, like is the gasoline.
Yes, that's it. It's okay, exactly.
If like is the gasoline, Charlie, then what is love?
Wow. Well,
there's something to think about.
That's a very good question.
Well, is love the spark plug?
Love is the ever burning flame. Okay. If you keep it that way. So,
yeah. Yes. That's a responsibility.
And then, there's a whole conversation about physical intimacy, right? That's a different animal entirely.
Yes.
And if you're fortunate, and if you're fortunate enough to find somebody that you like, and then move into the love sector, and then you're able to have physical intimacy, then you have really the basics of a long-term relationship. You have to keep it alive. You got to keep it fresh. And
that's another work in progress, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is.
Well,
sure
so is. We understand that.
Yes, exactly. And so let me circle back to the poetry thing and why I want to teach writing.
Please.
If you can elucidate the love that you have in your heart and you can understand yourself, then you have the ability, I think, to love somebody else.
That's perfect.
I hope so. You know, I don't seek perfection because I live in the world of imperfection, but I do live in the world of striving, which is about always improving, learning, trying to make things better. And not just for yourself, but for the people in your community, the people that are close to you, your family, your friends, your patrons, whomever. But I think that you have to move about in the world with a sense of love for your fellow people. And you don't have to love everybody. That'd take too much time. But
we don't have that much time. But
you know, certainly don't.
When we go into puffers, you have that feeling that what you want to do is you exude the love you have for all the people who come in there, which is, as was stated last week, that is in itself a community.
That's it. And I actively and deliberately and energetically try to welcome people into my establishment because this little place is a place where people feel good. And also, I try to make it a safe place. You know, like single women come here because A, they have fun, and B, they feel safe. And I work really hard to ensure that it's a safe place. I haven't always been successful. There, you know, some couple of strange things that have happened, but mostly I think that too is an expression of love and acceptance and community. And that's what people tell me, and it makes me happy.
And what time do you open, may I ask?
4 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday.
Wednesday through Sunday?
Yep, I'm closed Monday and Tuesday because I need to have a little time off.
That's fine. And then you stay late until what, the last person leaves?
Until the last person leaves. And sometimes it's not really where I want to be. I would like to have gone home earlier, but I have such a massive commitment to customer service that I look after people. And I can't tell you how many times I drive people home. They've had a little bit too much to drink, or I get them a taxi or an Uber or something. Or if it's a busy night and we can't get a taxi or an Uber, I just take them home and they don't live too far. I feel a responsibility for my patrons, and I feel responsible for their safety and for their joy as well. And it's not that complicated.
When you purchased that little spot, it wasn't as big as it is right now because you did acquire the spot next door. But do you remember when it was just that little tiny area with the same number of people in it?
Yes. Yes, I remember very well.
And I thought,
my goodness, how am I going to make a living here? But things worked out in my favor, you know?
Well, I think the space is exactly what the space needs to be. You don't need to go in either direction anymore.
No, I know. And I thought I wanted to, but I think it's important to maintain the intimacy. And even if it is a little bit financially limiting, I think I've got the right ingredients. I mean, I have artwork. I have live music. Sometimes I'm not doing food on a regular basis, but sometimes I do special things. And I have really fine things, beverages, both, you know, wine and beer and non-alcoholic things. So there's a little something for everybody. But mostly what we have is an environment that is friendly and safe, and we've got all these other elements that contribute to it that make people feel comfortable. People come here from wherever they come from, a lot of people from the Central Valley, but if they come here on Friday night, they're probably coming back on Saturday. And a lot of it is about the live music. I figured out early on that live music really was going to be the key, and we have so many incredibly talented people in our community, it's amazing. Like I said, I lived in New York. I live in Chicago. I live in LA. I went to the best clubs on the planet. I went to nice clubs in Paris and London and Amsterdam and in Argentina. You know, I've been all over the place. But the talent here is really top flight. It's special.
And are we going to get a bagpipe person coming in at any time?
Well, we had one here last Sunday for St. Patrick's Day.
You did, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the fellow from Arroyo Grande?
Not that guy, but there's a little contingent of Celtic players, I think based around Santa Maria. There's a guy named David Evans, and he has a beautiful Celtic band called Anamkara. And I can't remember what that really stands for, but he'll bring in a bagpiper, and he brought us through St. Patrick's Day in fine style. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, very good.
And he had a penny whistle player, and he played mandolin, and he had two wonderful vocalists and another couple of vocalists. It was special. It felt really good.
So, Charlie, is all this available on a website, all this information, or by Facebook?
Facebook is fairly prominent, but I do have a puffersofpismo.com website where on a weekly basis, the bands that are upcoming and the events that are upcoming are available.
And does someone close to you maintain all that for you?
My good friend, Lynn Spencer Hamill. I've been working with her for 8 years. Yes. I mean, she's been here from the beginning, and she worked for the previous proprietor and played music here. So she takes care of my calendar and my social media, and it takes a lot of stuff off my plate.
Lovely person.
Lovely person, and just incredibly intelligent. I actually have I have her son doing a couple shifts for me now, too.
Yeah, he's quite good. Aaron, correct?
Exactly.
Well, he floats around very quietly, very diligently, and completely
right.
Professional.
I mean, the guy's 6'5", but he moves very stealthily, you know? I mean, I'm so happy I'm not a tall man because I couldn't figure out where I would fit, you know? It's like you're a large person in a world full of tight, small spaces. Yeah? So I'm kind of happy being medium, you know?
And do you feature local wines? Is that one of your specialties?
It's part of the wider variety. One of the things that I do is I'm probably 50% local, 50% foreign. But one of the things about that is that if you're just local, you're just local. And some of the local winemakers like to come here because they get to have something different. And also, it's just an interest of mine. You know, I enjoy wine, and I'm happy that I have it at my disposal. But there's so many different characteristics about wine from different places. Okay, there's this great concept called terroir, okay, which means the wines are reflected from the earth from which they came. So the soil is different. The minerals are different. The winemaking's different. There's a lot of different things, but the terroir, the idea of terroir, makes wines more individuated. And you might think that you don't like them. Like you might go like, yeah, well, I only like Zinfandel from Dry Creek Valley. But if you drink Primitivo from Southern Italy, there's a relationship there, but there's a difference. So I like to present different opportunities to have different sensory experiences with wine. Because for me, wine's not just about drinking and, you know, getting drunk. I mean, people do it all the time. But it's about, when I used to sell wine, and when I lived in LA, I would sell $2 to $3 million worth of wine every year. And the way I described my job was, how I sold wine was trying to describe sensory perception. How does it smell? How does it feel on your palate? How does it taste? How does it make you feel? It's like great food, you know? I mean, you can only eat so much McDonald's, and then you have to have something a little bit different and maybe something a little better, you know?
And thank you to Dr. Electric and Miss Etiquette and Diamond Jewelry and Loan, Jim Dritzis, Bruce Van Vork, the Cop Dental Group, Pismo Dice, Sierra Body Shop, Arroyo Grande Home and Garden, Doug McMillan, The Natural Toolbox, Couts' Chevron, Elizabeth Head Insurance Services, Brenda Auer Real Estate, Splash Cafe, the grocery outlet in Arroyo Grande, Kevin's 76 station, and Kristen Becker. I did not notice anybody in your establishment last week that was there for the idea of drinking so much that they didn't know where they were. That's not the atmosphere inside of Puffers at all.
We certainly don't encourage that. But one of the things that happens is that people go out elsewhere first and have hard liquor, right? They go to the places that serve hard liquor, and I don't serve that. And once they're bored with that place, they come to my place because they know I'm going to have great live music. And so maybe they're already a little bit lubricated, and, you know, those are the people that I have to look out for.
And maybe once again, we're going to wrap this up, but tell us when the Congregation House is going to sponsor you for your poetry night.
It's April 2nd. It's called First Tuesday.
Okay.
I don't have the exact address in front of me, but it's Congregation House on Los Osos Boulevard, just a little bit west of Laguna Lake. And there's a lot of really nice people there. And even though it's a religious-based facility, it's not a religious-based activity.
And Charlie Puffer, we want to thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening, and we'll see everybody again next week. Thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome. Ciao, ciao, Bella.
You've been listening to the Pismo Beach Today Show with Anita Schauer on News Talk 920 and FM 96.5 KVEC. For comments, questions, and to hear this broadcast in its entirety, find the podcast at 920kvec.com. The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111911.